Welcome to Speed Vector, the podcast dedicated to the art, risk, and obsession of speed flying. I'm your host, Victor Garcia, speed flyer, skydiver, cinematographer, Navy veteran, and full-time gravity junkie. Every week, we dive into the lines we fly, the gear we trust, and the stories that push us past the ridge and into the void. Whether you're just learning to launch or chasing the perfect line, this is where speed flyers come to connect, learn, and stoke the fire. This is Speed Vector. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Speed Vector podcast. Got a special episode for you today. It was actually one that was recorded that I wasn't actually intending to make an episode out of, but what was talked about and what was said in this episode seemed like it would be selfish to me if I didn't share it with you all. I sat down and talked to a man by the name of Brian Germain. Brian is a very well-known skydive instructor. He's been jumping for 40 years. He's got tens of thousands of skydives. He's also an expert in holistic well-being. He's a best-selling author. Some of the titles include Transcending Fear, Greenlight Your Life, Vertical Journey, and The Parachute and Its Pilot. Brian has dedicated his life to the study of fear and its antidotes, and it all stems back to the year 1993 when he had a paragliding accident that put him in a wheelchair. The doctors told him that he was not ever going to walk again, let alone fly again, and he wouldn't take that as the answer. So he goes on a two-year journey where basically he went from a wheelchair to being the world champion at the X Games for free flying, which is remarkable. I sat down with Brian as almost a therapy session. I'm just kind of at the back half of dealing with this leg and ankle injury that I sustained in June, and I was just having some doubts, and I thought it would be helpful to talk to someone that is an expert, not only from a, you know, psychology standpoint, but also from a like real world first person experience standpoint. At the end of the episode, he even pulls out this titanium rod and shows me, and he's like, any idea what this is? It's like, that looks like something that would be attached to a femur. Sure enough, that's what it was. And that was 10,000 jumps ago. So it was a little bit too good to not share with you all. I hope you enjoy it. There's a lot of good life lessons in there, not only about coming back from injury, but just in general. And these lessons definitely transcend air sports. Just a little heads up for you guys. Because I was not anticipating making this a podcast episode, the audio quality on my end is not up to par. On Brian's end, it was really good, but that's because he records all of his sessions with the intention, if the other party agrees, to use it on his Instagram and YouTube channels, which obviously I was totally up for, and even mentioned that there's a possibility that I would put this on a podcast episode. So apologies for that. It isn't the worst audio quality, but it's not as good as it should be or as it normally is. Don't let that distract you though, because Brian is definitely the man you want to be listening to in this episode. He did most of the talking, which is what I wanted, and there is a lot to be gained. Enjoy.
So you're currently on the ground, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, it's been, I got hurt Friday the 13th of June.
Of course,
Friday the 13th. I should have known. I was like, oh no, it's like, I'm not superstitious at all. Like, yeah, actually, maybe. No. But yeah,
It's
Yeah, and I
awesome.
had surgery on the 20th of June, which was the following Friday. So I'm 4 weeks removed from surgery, 5 weeks removed from injury. I've got a cast over the knee, but I'm sitting in a chair right now normally because
And it
I'm
feels all right.
healing. It feels okay. Yeah, like
Good.
I've been on the couch with my leg above my heart for 5 weeks, and I'm just now to the point where like I can get away with like an hour or two of gravity. No weight, no weight bearing. But like before, if I stood up, like it was instant, like water balloon, in my foot. So
Inflammation and yeah,
yeah.
it's just
And I've got three incisions, four pins. They actually did surgery on my ankle. So I broke my fibula, but that was a result of my ankle exploding. So
got
yeah, so it was it and that was, I mean, the surgery, like the injury was, breaking bones, it hurts, but it's a weird feeling. The surgery though was like nuclear. I mean, it was like the pain I was in after that was so gnarly. I mean, it was bad. So,
It's
but
yeah, pains people don't realize until they're in it, and a lot of people have never felt the kind of pain that you went through. Like they
sure.
never in their life will they ever experience that kind of enduring pain that just you can't shake it, hard to
Yeah, I mean,
sleep, hard to.
nothing worked, they prescribed me all the meds, and I literally barely took the edge off, and I was just like, ugh. But I haven't, honestly, I took Motrin the other day because my wrists were sore from crutching. Like, I haven't had Motrin or any kind of pain med for my leg in almost, it's probably been 3 weeks
Yeah.
since I've had
Oh.
like anything. So
Yeah.
yeah, like
Good.
no pain, which is great.
Yeah.
So
I mean, these things definitely help when things are really acute, but there's some downsides, like
yeah. Oh, yeah.
makes you loopy, and when somebody's loopy like that, their thoughts are not necessarily constructive, unless you're over the moon and you're just, sort of, disengaged because of it. Okay, that might help when you're, it just on fire, but at some point we got to, sort of cultivate the coping mechanisms, like, the thought process of, noticing, oh, I'm having a total downer thought that this is my fault and I'm not a good enough skydiver and whatever, and we paint a picture that's not even true,
Right.
but
Yeah. And
we can convince ourselves.
there was a lot of that initially, like just beating myself up because it was like very, if you saw the video, you'd be like, got hurt. Like it's so minor.
So let's get into. So this was the way you briefly described it was standard swoop. Everything was okay. It's not like you recovered low or something, and plowed into something with your foot.
It was at the end of a swoop, so I had, and I was speed flying, but same mechanics
Yeah,
for the
yeah,
most part.
yeah. More valuable, more variable landing areas.
Yeah, well, and this was an LZ. I have 300 plus landings in. It's a grass. It's long, but I swooped a 150 meters, like huge swoop. Like, I mean, I was hauling ass, and like it was awesome. I was at the tail end of it, probably going 10 miles per hour. Like I was about done, like about to shut it down. And I was kind of carving to the left. And then I hit a little, like a little, I felt the energy dissipate. So I leveled out and I hit just a little bit of sink. And I'm a couple feet off the ground as it is. So I put my feet down and I was sliding. And there's like this tire rut that runs like diagonally through the end of that LZ that I know is there. I mean, I see it all the time. And it just caught my right foot just enough.
Force
Ripped
against
the,
force, right? That one.
yeah, it was kind of like diagonal. So it took my right foot and instantaneously and super violently went like 100 degrees to the right. It rotated outward. So I knew it. I took two steps. This is how slow I was going. I took two steps, one on the back leg, one on the good leg, and then I popped over on my side and I was like, I just broke my leg. And I knew it instantly. It's not the first time I've been injured. First time I've been injured in sky sports and air sports, but I had a pretty good run there of like barely even a bruise for almost 1,000 canopy flights. So it was pretty crazy. And it was so routine. Wasn't even thinking about it. So
Well, and
yeah.
that's often where it gets you, where
Yep.
you get complacent is a kind of a strong word. We want to apply it to other people, not ourselves, but basically it's you get comfortable. That's it, you know, where
That's
you get
it.
so comfortable that you don't have that percent of your awareness that's not paranoid, but also, you know, aware that there could be unconsidered possibilities showing up.
100%. Yeah. And I was looking left because I was carving to the left, and I wasn't looking at where I was going to put my feet down. And that's like, I knew that that tire, those tire tracks were there. They've always been there, but I wasn't looking at it. And it's like, man, like had I been a foot further back or a foot longer, or had I just looked at where my feet were going to be on the ground, then it wouldn't have happened. So it's just a, it's a mistake. It's a costly one, you know, because missed 2 months of work at least. And then, but beyond that, I can't do the stuff I love to do. Like, I mean, I can't even drive. It's my right leg. So it's just, it's been, it's, I have found, it's not the first time I've been injured in my life, but I have found that with injuries, never mind, I will never not do an activity because of the risk of injury, obviously, right? Because then I wouldn't do anything. But, and then once you're injured, and all the excitement is taking place because you're in pain and you're going to the doctor and doing all this crap. That's all fine and good. It's when that stops and then you're left with just time. That's what sucks. Every time. I'm like, man, it's the time that sucks.
Lots of
So
opportunity for the mind to, you know, kind of do what it does.
yeah.
Spin out a story, a judgment, a layer of expectation about the future based on one moment. Right? But
Exactly.
can we forget about all the other moments where we're ripping it, you know, where you're doing it right, making quick decisions again and again and again to make it end well. And here's this one hiccup where it's very easy, as I say, to paint the whole world with that one brush.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, and that's the primary reason why I wanted to talk to you, other than being a huge fan and like I've like a I, you know, with the parachute and its pilot, that's like my favorite, like textbook style, like information book when it comes to, it's the best canopy piloting book I've found. I don't know if there's any others that even compare. So much so that I've, the, or the copy I just ordered from you is my fourth copy. I've gifted three copies to people just over the course of time because I think it's valuable. I think
That's
it
great.
should be in the sim, or at least should be some of it, you know, at least should be taught. And I think some of it is, some of it in the sim. I don't,
Well, yeah, some of it is, and I've been helping them lately with the IRM rewrite
Oh,
to
cool.
incorporate real content, you know, not
Sure.
just rules and regulations and procedures, but you know, information that's going to save lives, you know,
Right.
drills, for instance, that make somebody a better canopy pilot or that kind of thing.
Sure.
It's never the whole story. Yeah,
Of
any book.
course.
I mean,
It couldn't
you could have
be.
a book that thick and
Yeah.
tell the whole story about canopy flight.
Of course not. Yeah, there's so many variables and it just takes, I, skydiving's interesting, canopy piloting's interesting because I feel like it's you. You can't, you can conceptualize and you can visualize things and, but until you go do it, I feel like it's very, it's like a muscle memory thing and a sight picture thing. It's not something you can talk about and understand. You can talk about it and grasp it, but until you do it a thousand times, you're like, meh, yeah, there's so many variables. It's crazy, but
There are a lot of variables, and there definitely also has to be kind of a base frame understanding of the physics and of the geometry. That's the way I look at the math aspect of a parachute flight. If you don't understand that, you can do thousands of jumps and still not understand what you're experiencing, at least not fully,
Sure,
you know,
sure.
and you don't know the limits of the vehicle.
Right,
And
right.
that is really kind of vital to begin. And that's why, you know, I write, you know, books like that. And I'm currently working on a rewrite for the Parachute and Its Pilots, sixth
Cool.
edition.
Nice,
Yeah.
cool.
Well,
That's exciting. Well,
I had to finish the previous book first. Like, you know,
right.
all winter I was like, you know, working away on that, knowing that there is this, you know, big thing hanging over my head of incorporating more information, you know, stuff that actually makes a difference. And one of the things that I feel like I haven't covered quite enough in the book anyway, is how at the end of a landing in particular, the body position is so crucial, right? And if you're in a harness that is leaning you back, right, speed flying, and of course, you know, anybody can lean back in any harness and put their
Right.
feet in front of them. If you're on a, you know, it's like a fairway, you could slide your feet, you know, on your heels, you know, sort of pushing against the relative earth, Where you support
Right.
yourself and you can actually reduce the stall speed of the parachute if you put enough weight on the ground, right? If it's
Sure.
carrying less weight, it actually stalls at a higher angle of attack and a lower
Oh,
speed.
okay. That makes
And it
sense.
makes sense because you're
Yeah.
reducing the wing loading.
Right.
And so I get why people do that. We also have to recognize the potentiality of force against force impact when your feet are forward of your center of mass.
Right,
That's
right.
right.
It's a very unathletic position. Yeah.
It is, and it's just
Right.
it's setting up, setting ourselves up for an impact event that we can't absorb. It's not
You
skill
can't.
anymore because you've lined yourself in a vulnerable sensation of, sliding your feet in front of you, and if there is an impact, just the attitude increases risk.
Right.
And so we
Yeah.
just have to recognize when we're taking a risk. If you're sliding with your feet in front of you, you're taking a unique kind of a risk. And there's a time to green light that risk, but
Right.
off field ruts and things like that, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, I guess I'm example A, or probably not example A, but
Oh,
in my
dude,
world at
you're
least,
yeah, no, your
I'm example
example
20,000.
ZZZ. There's
Yeah.
like so many people before we've been through the alphabet many, many times with this specific accident.
Right. It's very common, and I've got friends that are really high level swoop like
Oh, yeah.
panic pilots that have done the same thing
Same
in the
thing.
skydiving world, not necessarily in the speed flying world. They're badass speed flyers too,
Both.
but yeah, they're like, meh, yeah, get these ankle braces. So I bought those ankle braces for when I'm healthy, like then I noticed they all jump with ankle braces because of just the you catch a hole the wrong way and there's 2 months of your life at least. So so I mean, learning little things like that, but I
Well,
think I built a little, not invincibility. Like I'm very aware of the risks that I take. If you talk to any of the people I fly with, it's like, oh, he's the super conservative, very safe. Like I don't take huge risks. I barely do a turn over 180 degrees, and I don't like 180s that much coming into swoop. But on a speed wing, they recover so quickly, you can kind of get away with it. But on a, in the skydiving world, I don't really mess with 180s just because I feel like I'm digging myself a hole, potentially, or backing myself into a
Potentially.
corner. But yeah, and then for me be the one to get hurt, I would never wish anybody else to get hurt, but they're like shocked, like, oh my gosh. But then you look at the video and it's like, break your leg? Like what, how? So anyway,
Doable.
but
Oh, I mean, this is the toilet paper on your shoe. It happens all the time where you walk out of a public restroom and you get toilet paper hanging off your shoe and you don't know it because it's behind you. And that's, sometimes, it's a matter of do you just sort of opening up and stepping back and go, all right, where's my dark spot? Where's my blind spot where I'm just there is more risk than I perceived. I felt nominal, I felt normal, I felt safe because what I was doing was working, but is there a place somewhere in my methodology and sort of my way of doing it that is a little bit higher risk, and what would that look like, and what can I do to mitigate it?
sure. Right.
So it's always there, I mean, anybody that's really good will have that feeling like, no, I got this, but maybe there's something, and that's
Right.
it's not like you suck. It just means that's your work. That's all.
Right. Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So, I mean,
Yeah.
in this case, the work would be visualizing yourself in the moments just before that, right? Where you made a decision to put your feet down, or you made, you weren't, extending your awareness right and left. If you're in a carve, there's a lot to take in,
Sure.
given the roll angle, which can really mess with your brain a little.
Yep.
Our
Yep.
powers of understanding get more skewed when we're rolled, unless we don't roll our head. I
Right.
recommend, in any
Right.
carve, try to keep your head gimbaling so that it's level with the horizon,
Sure.
so the brain isn't dealing with too much.
Right.
That's
Right.
my thought,
That
but
makes sense.
right. So imagine you're in the carve, same scenario. So how would you play it in a way that's, not retracting in the fear that this is going to happen again, just seeing a different path that works great. That it works out fine. You've got the rut. Picture yourself, how am I going to manage it? Maybe I'm not going to pressure the ground in front of me. If I can see it, I shouldn't be putting my feet on it and putting any pressure if I have any question mark about the terrain. Right? Right. So I mean, I'm going to bring myself forward so that my feet are under me. If you tag the ground and you slide into a rut when your feet are directly or one foot is directly in the middle,
Would have been fine.
it kicks out the back, right? And there's
Right.
room there.
Would have been fine. Yeah, probably. Maybe a little bruised, but whatever. I
Yeah,
mean,
but
you know, probably not.
it's not going to be something that is, as we say, the mechanism of injury.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
was pretty committed to being supine. Like I was very supine, you know, because I was trying to extend, you know, there my friends were there and I wasn't showing off, but you know, we egg each other on in a healthy way. And you know, some one of the guys is a newer pilot. He's got like, you know, 60 speed flights. He's crushing it, but he's still kind of, you know, he's learning. If I could go back, I would have just slid. I had a new harness though, and it was my first day on the harness, and I had flown it before, it demoed it and stuff, but it was mine, and I didn't want to slide. I was on grass, you know, so I was trying to save the harness basically. Not that it would have been hurt, just keep some dirt off of it or whatever, and grass stains. And I was committed to landing on my feet, which I think, you know, if I could go back, I'd have just slid it out. It would have been fine. So
There you
I've
go.
slid over those ruts before my butt. It's like not the most pleasant thing, but it's dirt and grass. It's, you know, and it's not rocks. So there was no reason to try to run it out, but I don't know.
It's a hard issue because, in PLFing is not very easy to do. A standard PLF, when you're in that kind of a harness leaning back,
It's
that's
hard.
weird, right? I mean, you have to kind of hip check and you sort of, throw your upper body, try to spin yourself into something that's a sideways initial contact with the earth. That would be something to, to sort of continue to put thought into. I think everybody that, whether you're flying a mutant or you're a speed flyer, how do I deflect impact? Because sliding on your feet in front of you has risks, very specific, tangible risks, and impacting on your, spinal impact with your ass hitting something, pretty bad
Could
compared to
be.
this, like compared to even a foot fracture.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Worse.
No, for sure. And that's something that we've put a lot of thought into. It's just, you know, there's airbags and stuff, but they're clunky, and it's in a speed flying environment, it doesn't really make sense.
Nobody's doing it. I have not
Very few,
seen, I mean,
very few
maybe there is
people.
somebody, but
Very few. And the problem is that it's like clip-on mechanism that's 2 feet of fabric, and it's weird, it moves. And there is a company that just came out with a new harness that has like a Speedfly specific one that's built into it, so you can remove it, but it's like internal, and it's like a third of the like, I guess, volume. I don't know how to describe it, but that one makes sense. But I mean, yeah, you know, it's a newish sport. So I think the
It,
gear is finally kind
yep.
of trying to catch up. I mean, the wings certainly have, they're incredible, but
Oh yeah.
the harnesses, there hasn't really been much improvement in those
No,
in the last 8 years.
the primary goals have been comfort and reducing the weight, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you got to
Yeah.
carry it up.
Right.
No,
And then
so.
having one that, you know, and most of the harnesses, are built to both speed ride and speed fly, two totally different sports.
Yeah.
The speed riding harness, you know, you want to be more upright, you want it to be super, you know, elastic, and you want it to move with you, versus like a speed flying one, like a foot launch harness, you probably don't need as much, you know, movement in like the legs and stuff, and you know, like the lower half of the harness doesn't need to be as pliable. And I think the companies are starting to realize that, or I'm sure the engineers, I'm sure they've been talking about this for years. It's just a matter of, there's not a lot of money in it, so the R&D's got to come from somewhere, you know, but it's a rabbit hole. But anyway, yeah, no, I would love to talk to you about like big turns and stuff, but I've got your book, Transcending Fear. I've read it a couple times, and it's been a little while though. I need to get back in that book, but I'm wondering how you have, or if you have any advice on approaching coming back from an injury that wasn't traumatic. Well, it wasn't dramatic, but it is traumatic
Good
because it, you know,
description.
I went through
Well
all of
said.
that crap, you know, I still am, but what do you have any advice on how to come back from an injury like that or like this?
Well, I think the hardest aspect of this is that so much time goes by
Mm-hmm.
in between the actual event and then jumping out of an airplane or flying down a mountain again, that there's this opportunity for the mind to you're sort of you know the trains where you can have these tracks that rotate and you can choose different tracks, right? So you can visualize it. That's us. You're not moving forwards, and therefore you could choose a different path one way or another. You could choose the path that says, screw it, I'm going to become a bowler instead.
Yeah,
And I mean, it's one of
true,
your paths,
true. Yeah.
and that may or may not be fear driving you. It could just be a life choice, but it certainly could be, investing yourself in the disbelief that you're capable, right? That's a possibility. And it's always, by a possibility, meaning it's always there. It's a set of thoughts that we can sort of click into, where it kind of thinks itself. It's a timeline, it's a thought stream. And if you get into that stream, you can tell when you're, pondering thoughts like that you can't, that is a roll of the dice, right? That it's probabilities and not skill that determines the outcome. That's
Sure.
terrifying, and it's every reason for you to feel a visceral contraction as an indication that you're off track, that your thoughts are off track.
Sure.
And so my first thing is, when you see those and feel those kinds of thoughts happening, step out of that thought system into no thought system first,
Okay.
because it's very hard to just plug and play a different thought system. The champion's mind that is
Sure.
so calm and clear and focused on the flow state, gearing up for the flow state. It's a very simple mind, and it's beautiful that way. But you can't
Absolutely.
get there from here. Like when you're so when somebody's like in the remembering the pain and worrying that you're going to have something like that happen again, worrying that this means something about you, a judgment, that we put ourselves, you can tell the difference between how it feels when you're kicking ass and that's anybody can feel that difference. My
Sure.
suggestion is first start with recognizing when the thoughts are leading away, and just empty the mind. You don't have to replace it with anything, because it's not easy to replace it. It's too, sort of mentally so different that
Right.
you can't get there from here right now. And my suggestion is, be okay with not thinking. Don't judge yourself for recognizing a thought system that's not constructive, and just emptying your mind into some sort of a simplified experience of smelling flowers, I mean, literally or figuratively.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Doing what you can do now while you're in the laid up mode, enjoy that. Like,
Right.
what do I have time to do now that I, when I was busy flying every day, what was I missing out on? Maybe this
Right.
is an opportunity to, find a book that really fascinates you, a topic, exploring your passion, in other regards. And don't think
Sure.
of that as wasted time. Because right now you can't do the other thing. So
Right.
do this. You can be the you that you were when you were flying in a different context.
Right.
Right? That
Right.
shining star on this planet, there's so many of them that are just living life so well that the rest of the world looks, over at that crowd and goes, man, I wish I could be like that. Well, be
Right.
that in a different context.
Sure.
Gardening. That's
Right.
my
Right. Oh,
kind of
that's
my thing.
good.
I freaking love working in my garden. I wish I had more time to do that kind of a thing. I teach at the wind tunnel, teaching kids the STEM classes. I love that. I wish I had more time and more opportunity to do that. And it doesn't require my skydiving skills. It just requires me to be me and teach these kids about the value of science, and that kind of thing.
That's
It's
cool.
there's other avenues, other aspects of who we are, where we can apply the brilliant experience that we get through skydiving and speed flying and mountaineering and all the other sort of tangent
Right,
experiences that are
right.
so transcendent, amazing. Apply that to other stuff,
Sure.
because you're going to need that when you're an old fart.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
Right?
truly.
When you're not able to jump as much, I'm not able to jump as much as I used to, you know,
Sure.
for a variety of reasons, and I have to still be happy. You know, I still got
Right.
to find a way to
Yeah.
get up in the morning and feel, you know, really not just like, oh, here we go, but I'm psyched. You know, the sun is shining or the rain is falling or whatever it is, and go into radical acceptance of what this day is and what I'm capable of doing in terms of pushing things forward towards what I love, what I desire, what I wish to, you know, to manifest in the world. You know, following your passion, and then
Right.
wonder, you know, and then wonder how I can do more in my various areas of passion. It's not just one. It's like, you know, fingers coming off all these, you know, possibilities of who you're becoming as a human being
Right.
and how you can serve the world and actually make it better. These are all great questions to ask that we don't ask when we're running to the plane, doing a quick pin check, you know, and we're
Yeah.
on it. We're on fire. We love it. We're in a flow
Of
state.
course. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's other versions of the evolution of who we are that would serve the world, you know, and right now
Sure.
now's a great opportunity to do that stuff. And at the same time, I think that as you're, you know, continuing to keep your vibe up, which is not always easy. I know that
Right.
when you're in a recovery phase, you're in the synapse between, you know, what it was and what it's going to become, because you know you're
Right.
going to be fine, right?
Yeah.
You know
Yeah.
you're
Yeah.
going to be in the air, and you're going to go through a period where you feel a little clunky and the flow state is not totally there and you're questioning yourself a little bit, but that'll go away. It will.
Right. Yeah.
But between now and there, I think to go back to really clear visualizations of what it felt like to be there, right?
To
Do not
be
hit
prior to
anyone.
or during this phase,
Not
like
even prior
both.
to, like, the better version of the skydiver that
Oh,
you are, the
I see.
better than you were. That one, right?
Right.
I mean, whether this detour, you know, this little off ramp and then back onto the highway experience that you're having, whether or not that happened, you still got to strive for better.
Of
You
course.
know,
Yeah, of
whether
course.
you're growing or you're dying.
And my thought is, well, first of all, that's brilliant. It's simple, right? But not easy to do, and not as simple as it might seem. It's not really a concept that I wasn't thinking about it in that manner, I guess. So I appreciate that. My hope is that because of that, and I broke my leg. It's not like I broke my back. Like there's a lot of people that I even know that are still recovering. It's been a year since they got hurt, and they're still walking with a cane. Their bone just came together. You know, one of my good friends almost a year ago in Switzerland had an emergency pull and impacted a line stretch in a wingsuit. You know, and I mean, obviously lucky to be alive, but he's had a long road and he's still on it. And I look for him as inspiration. Even before I broke my leg, I'm like this guy is a champion because he's got a positive attitude. You know, he's living his best life the best that he can in the circumstances that he's been dealt, you know. Whether that's his mindset prior to or because of the fact that he's still up and, you know, getting around, like either way. So I'm not I don't have a misconception, I guess, of like how chill my injury is. Like
It's
it's not that big of a deal. It's a leg. It heals.
doable. It's doable.
People break their ankles and their legs every day. You know, like it's not that big of a deal. It's not life changing, right? And I have kept that in perspective the entirety of the time. It's just I because of where I was at in my progression and how I was feeling and how dramatic and instantaneous that changed, in a manner that was very chill. Like I said, like that's the part where I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna do all those same things, except I'm going to pay really close attention to the, like, I made this point the other day on the Sin Noobs channel or the page on Facebook, which I know you're on. That's actually what sparked my memory about ordering the book and stuff. It's weird. I have nothing going on, and yet my mind is super busy, or has been in a space that I even ordered that. But anyway, it's like your flight or your jump or whatever is not done until you're wing is on the ground or balled up in your hands if it's like windy or something.
Yeah.
I have preached that to newer pilots and to myself for a long time now, relatively speaking, and I lapsed that. So I think it was complacency, like you said earlier. So I mean, if this whole thing just brings up more awareness to like the entirety of the event and not when I think it's done, I hope that's the takeaway. And the takeaway isn't like I'm afraid of my own shadow because I could get hurt at any time, you know? That
That's
I'm
not
trying to
constructive.
avoid that train
It's
track,
yeah, it's
you
not
know?
constructive to go that way.
No, it's
But it
not.
is
So
natural. It's a pull.
for
In the
sure.
same way, the kind of I think of it as entropy. There is an entropy to our awareness that it just erodes and shrinks naturally in comfort. In the way that, laying down as you get tired and you start to fade away into sleep, that's what's happening in our skydiving or our car driving or anything else that's dangerous. Is that you
Right.
start getting comfortable and then the awareness shrinks back because it feels safe enough to not be hypervigilant. Because it doesn't feel good to be hypervigilant. That's,
Right.
paranoia and that spectrum. It feels terrible. So we're always naturally gravitating towards relaxed and lazy. And we have to recognize that that's the entropy in the system that will always be there. It's always going to keep happening.
In any walk of life. I mean, that's isn't it like 90%, not 90%, whatever high percent of accidents in cars happen like 5 minutes from your destination. It's probably the same.
Because
It's the
you
same
got it. You
concept.
letting your guard
Yep.
down.
It's human nature. Yeah, isn't that that's wild. That
That's
is
very
wild.
true. I mean,
And
it's not just human nature. I mean, you're right. I mean, deer wish to relax and not be looking for the predator. They really, hope for that. And if they don't get that, they will die. Like from stress. It's been proven, right? They
wow.
had these deer on an island where it overpopulated. They couldn't escape. It was too far to swim. And they ended up with such an overpopulated system that the deer were constantly on edge, hearing, a crack of a branch or what is it? What is it? And the stress literally killed them.
Wow.
Every one of them, the population literally tanked to zero.
Whoa.
Right? So
That's
stress is
amazing.
extraordinarily dangerous, which is why we have the, in addition to the stress, sort of defensive mechanism, we also have this pull towards let your guard down. It's not evil. Neither one of them are a problem if you have the ability to recognize when it's too far in either direction and when it's inappropriate contextually for this
Sure.
moment. That's where the sentient being comes in and goes, actually, I think I've been a little too comfortable lately, a little too confident.
Sure.
Now I just have to expand back out and ask the question, what am I missing? What am I missing about this scenario, about my way of doing it? Maybe I should train some other things. If I always do high speed approaches, maybe I should do some low speed approaches.
Just slow it down. Yeah,
Yep.
slow it
Do
down.
some,
That makes
right?
sense.
So I'm a skilled pilot in every category, and I'm current with all the different maneuvers that might show up as the only option for survival.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's in, what actually led me to speed flying was swooping. Because I was kind of I mean, I have 418 skydives, so not a lot, you know. But I was a my dad was a pilot. I started flying planes when I was super pretty young, like as young as you could be, I think. And I've always had that like sight picture dialed, you know, like for lack of a better term. And I was hungry to like downsize, not because I wanted to be cool, but because I wasn't happy with how the bigger canopies flew. I'm like, this is, I have to do a really low turn to cover any kind of ground at the tail end of, like once I, plane out. And I was like, I want to fly faster. This is boring, you know? And there was a lot of gatekeeping. And I get it. It's like a statistics thing. And most people obviously don't want to, send someone to their demise. Like, you're not going to like open the door for someone to, fly a small cross brace canopy if you don't know that they're like ready to do that, right? So we moved. I was in the Navy. I got out of the Navy. We left Hawaii and moved to Washington, and speed flying became accessible because, it's not a really gnarly place to speed fly like Oahu is. People do. It's really gnarly, just because of the terrain and the wind. So it came here, and I honestly haven't done a skydive since June 28th of 24. So it's been a year and some change, but in that time I have done like almost 500 speed flights. So, I mean, that was my focus, you know, over the last year, besides work and stuff, of course. But, and I went from a 15 meter speed wing, which is very chill, to an 11 really quick because
That's what I
it
got.
was in a responsible way with oversight and instruction and coaching and stuff. I did it right. And then I moved down to a 9 meter, and then I switched over to a parakite that's like way faster, that swoops really well, and like, and you know, but I take it conservatively. My point in saying all that is like swooping has been my focus. I haven't done a lot of like, let's put it on a postage stamp in like a really small LZ theoretically kind of approach.
And
So,
that's the question, right? Is what does it
right.
look like? What would, you know, I feel like when I realize in the moment that you realize, oh man, I got to put it down in a really small landing area, and that's only 9 square meters. You know, and
Right.
I've got some limitations in terms of the aircraft's flying envelope. And then you picture yourself in the visualization, you know, slowing down the breathing, expanding your awareness to a different track, a different spatial, you know, use of the space that you've got, different
Sure.
airspeed range. And how does the flare look, for instance, when you've got
Right.
less energy in the system, right? If it's
Right.
slow, it's a very different flare method.
Very, yeah,
You know,
right.
and you've got to punch it a little sharper, you know, to level off and a little bigger in terms of the motion. And you add that to your visualization. And make sure that the visualization goes all the way to the conclusion of it, you know, sort of ending well based on a plausible plan. Picture the whole thing. Like, oh, I did it. I came in a little bit slow. Maybe I collected a little airspeed before, you know, before it's over, but I didn't let it dive as I'm coming off. And then I pushed it. And holy crap, very little swoop across the ground. I tagged the ground pretty gentle. You know, picture
Right.
all the way to the end of it,
Okay.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the body can't go where the mind hasn't gone first.
Right. Yeah,
You, right?
that's a good point. I haven't done a lot of visualization. I need to. I think it was a mental block for me. I'd be in it and I'd be, you know, doing whatever I was doing, and then it would just go black and I'd lose it, you know? So like I have tried in the past to in other realms too, and visualizing like start to finish, and I struggle with the finish part.
Don't judge it. I mean, the way it goes is the way it goes. You know, meditation
Sure.
and things like that, you can't judge yourself. You just have to put yourself back in the ring again
Sure.
and again. All right, I'm expanding my awareness into just my body right now, just the body, just the breath, which is, you know, the only flowing thing that's happening in this awakening of awareness, sharpening of your pencil. You know what
Sure.
if you're going to write, you know, the story of your world, sharpen the pencil, you know, in
Right.
terms of the clarity of your awareness, and just you'll get there and you'll be all zenned out in your visualization mind chamber of the empty silent space of feeling really, really good. And then some intrusive thought is going to show up. That's how it works. A fly
Right.
lands on your nose, like, you know. And that becomes a slippery slope of, you know, and you
Sure.
just sit back down, you know,
So
and you don't judge. You just keep trying.
it's a learned activity or learned, I guess, process, and not necessarily something that you're just born with. Is that kind of what you mean? Like it's a muscle. You
The
got to
monkey
train it.
mind is
Right.
part of our, it's our base software. In order to survive in this world, we always have the push and pull of those two forces of like sort of the gravity that collects the content of our mind, crystallizes our understanding of our immediate surroundings, create safety. That's the hypervigilant ego. It's based in fear. I mean, essentially,
Right.
right?
Sure.
And without any fear, you're toast, dude. All of us. You don't have enough, you know, sort of fear that if I don't inhale again, I will die. Well, you're right.
Right.
You're right. At
Right.
the bottom of every exhale is literally death. If you don't eat, if you don't pull, if you don't, you know, if you don't flare,
Right.
you have every reason to be afraid. And yet, if we live in fear, we know where that goes. You know, if you don't get
Yeah.
out of it. And then the far end is the too loose, you know, where you
Sure.
absolve yourself of all ego functions, you know, the hypervigilance and all that stuff. You just say, I don't identify with this body or this lifetime. I don't, it is what it is. I'm just observing it as an observer. Well, then you don't have enough ego to survive. If you live
Right.
in cosmic consciousness all day long, every day, you're just, your
It's
feet are like a little bit off the ground. You got no traction
sure.
in this three-dimensional world. So we just have to
Sure.
recognize we're both. And
That's it's a
we're
spectrum,
yeah, and it's
or
just, and
it's
it's
a
an
pendulum.
oscillating spectrum. When you fly an airplane, it's an oscillatory process. Pitch.
Right.
Pitch, too much, too little, right? Too little airspeed, too much roll. There's an oscillatory correction process. That's human intelligence. It's intelligence in a nutshell, is it's oscillatory. Question
Interesting.
is that done with aggression and sort of self-aggression that you weren't perfect to start with, and that's why you have to make a correction? No, that's, you came here to be the corrector.
Right,
To be
right.
the one that makes ugly things beautiful and asymmetrical things more symmetrical, and airspeed to be monitored within a usable range,
Right.
right? That's the pilot's job, is to just stay in the box and just keep correcting in a sustainable mindset where you don't get yourself too relaxed or too freaked.
That's a really good point. Yeah, there's a healthy spot in there somewhere, right? But it bounces around. Yeah, that's very interesting. Huh.
Life is an ebb and flow.
Right.
It's
Right.
the ebb and flow of being completely non-active and too hyperactive, and it's
Sure.
just constantly happening back and forth between doing and being, doing and being, right? You ride out of a turn, like a really clean turn on a canopy, and it's all smooth. You're not muscling it around with a toggle. You're flowing through that turn. And then there's this phase where you let it coast down the hill. All right. And you're yin in that moment, yin and yang. You are just receptive in that moment. And there, and at some point, there is a yang version where maybe you've got to nail some increased angle of attack and you got to force against the force to make things go where you want it to go. There's always both. Both yin and yang, both receptive, both masculine and feminine, if you want to think of it that way. Always. And the pilot has to be the complete yin and yang.
Because you need both. Yeah, it takes both. That's interesting. That's a really cool way to put that. I like that a lot. I'm definitely gonna write that one down, I think.
Well, hopefully, these thoughts sort of, continue spinning onward, and then you start to see how this, this idea of a system of, action and inaction, allowing and creating, it's a whole. It's not like one is separate from the other, pulling against the other, like lift and weight, right? It's the lift and weight that creates the wholeness of your stability. It's not wrong. It's not right or wrong. There's just always polarity that appears to be separate that is actually part of a whole.
Interesting.
It's a system.
Right. Yeah, you can't have yin without yang, right? Like it's yeah, right, it's just a it's a whole thing in one, right? It takes them both.
You got it.
That's interesting.
That applies to everything I've observed.
I mean, truly, yeah, that's a very, very philosophical way to think about that, and I like it because it makes a ton of sense. Ton of sense.
Extreme sports do have lots of meaning that we can extrapolate, and project and find the principles elsewhere.
Sure. Oh, yeah,
Because,
absolutely.
truth is truth.
Right. Yeah. That's very cool. Super helpful. Man, I needed that. I appreciate that.
No problem. So right now you have an element of yin, right? You're in the nurturing healing phase. That's, sort of a feminine energy, like, if you could imagine a sweet old grandma lady that's helping you and reminding you to drink more water, reminding you to continue exploring all the things that cause you to heal faster. Like, are you eating, Reese's peanut butter cups all day long, or are you having green smoothies from your garden?
That's pretty
Are
cool.
you actually taking the steps that the nurturing mind within your mind would suggest? Are you actually taking the bait, recognizing that there is also, and there's an element in the healing process where we feel like we are owed. We've been in so much pain that we feel like we deserve Reese's peanut butter cups, or whatever that is, you know, the things
Sure.
that, you know, I've been in so much pain, so I'm now I'm going to take. I finally deserve to take. And there's a lot of people that, you know, have hard jobs that overcompensate when they come back home because they feel entitled. And that is not necessarily constructive.
Right.
Right. And so
Right.
there has to be this element of allowing ourselves to notice that we do feel like we deserve some nurturing. You know, we deserve some yin and some, you know, a little slack, as I say, you know, you deserve whatever good that comes to you right now because you've been suffering. And that good comes through green smoothies. It comes from
Right.
you having a meditation where you're not trying, you're just emptying your mind and relaxing into the basic song of the universe, which is grace and flow and love. That's the tone, that's the background tone of the universe. It, you know, that you deserve to bask in that. You deserve to wonder what kind of herbs will facilitate healing.
Right.
That wondering, that creative process will expedite your healing when you go, oh, what is comfrey? Look it up. What is comfrey?
What is comfrey?
Yeah,
Comfrey.
it's an herb that you it's well, it's a plant that you can grow that speeds up bone healing.
Oh, I'm gonna look that
Don't
up for
eat
sure.
it. It's bad for your liver if you eat it. You put it on directly. You can make a salve. I grow tons of it in my garden. It like grows like a weed.
Sure.
Right? So, but
What do
that's
you?
a nurturing thing. The earth created it. Okay, so that says we're
Right.
set up to succeed, you know. Wherever there is poison ivy growing, there's also jewelweed growing because jewelweed is the antidote to the stuff that
Right.
upsets your skin. And so likewise, I think, yeah, we should plant a lot of comfrey around drop zones.
No kidding. What,
Yeah.
how do you eat it if you can't, you don't eat it
Don't eat it.
directly.
Don't
What
eat.
do you
Just
do?
you just tear these leaves are huge. There's it looks
Okay.
like sort of reptilian skin, like dinosaur skin with these kind of oblong leaves. Just crush it up and just put it on wherever
Oh, it's topical. Use it as
topical.
topical. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can do.
Huh.
There's a lot of different, you know, salves and things that people create, but research
I'm
again,
sure.
it's
I'm
super
sure.
easy to grow, and
Huh.
yeah, obviously in its natural form. But that's to me that all of that is part of your healing process. Is the one?
Right.
Is there, you know, is there something else? You know, what other things can I do nutritionally, psychologically? Like, here's another example. When I'm healing something that is on one side of my body, I could naturally focus on what it feels like, you know, that you know, bone that's healing, that ankle, that whole thing. I can really stare at it and focus on it. Am I contributing to it returning to its natural form? What your DNA knows to be the perfect form of that foot? No, you're not focused that way. You're focusing on what it is.
Oh.
So look over at the other side of your body. Focus your mind on the perfect leg. Focus your mind on what it feels like to move the other ankle and what that's right.
Right.
Right. And that is going in the law of mirroring, it's going to actually cause your body to remember what it's like to be well.
Interesting. But that's crazy. They just fill the left side instead of the right, and it's more
It's,
healing than
doesn't it make
focusing on how
sense?
the right. Yeah. That's brilliant. Huh.
Yeah.
You're like rewriting the neural pathways to vector it that way. Yeah, sort of. That's cool.
Yeah, you're little by little, you're stepping into the timeline where your body is 100%, what it,
Sure.
you know.
Sure.
But we do get preoccupied into, you know, focusing on what it is, you know, the isness of it, the state of the bank account, or the state of the, you know, my car is empty of gas or something, and I focus on that, and then I visualize, oh, what happens if I run out of gas, and now I'm really ingrained in that timeline. What if I was to picture myself going to the gas station?
Right.
What if I was to
Yeah.
picture myself, you know, that with those numbers coming up in a bank account because of actions that I've taken, and you know, the next logical step towards the passion for feeling that abundance, what does that lead me to, you know,
Sure.
personally? What are my avenues that I have not been using, money makers that I haven't been shaken, you know,
Right. Right. Yeah.
whatever that is. I forgot. I don't think of those things when I feel broke. I just
Fair,
I
yeah.
focus on what it's like to be broke and how to cut back, how to shorten, but reduce my consumption. How do I ration my food and that kind of thing?
Right.
That's the poverty mentality. But
It's a spiral. Yeah. It's a slippery
I
slope
mean,
too.
yeah, it's not
Right.
negative. It's just the consequence.
Sure.
The consequence of that mindset.
Right. Huh. It's like a manifest destiny kind of deal. Like it's probably same,
Yeah.
if you, yeah, just picture my right leg feeling really good and
That's
being
it.
able to like do stuff.
Basically, just don't pay attention to it. In the way that when we like my kids are still growing, they grow when they're asleep, not when they're awake. When you're fighting gravity, you don't get taller. It's when you're actually relaxed and allowing and sort of stopping your, trying to get bigger or trying to, building muscle or whatever it is. You do it in the state of total grace and allowing. Same thing here. Just don't pay attention to the leg that hurts. Pay attention to the one that feels good, and you will have to do things that cause it to hurt worse in the PT. It's just the way it is. You accept that in full radical acceptance. This is how it feels right now, but I'm tough as hell. I can push through it. I can also notice when the pain is too much and I need to back down. I got to be a little more Maitri. I don't know if you know that term. It's a Tibetan term of like kindness for self and others. It's like a gentleness with which, like when you do yoga, you can push hard enough that you hurt yourself, or you can have a little gentle Maitri, where you're like, that's too far. I don't want to limp out of the yoga studio. That's not kind to self. And so that the PT process will have loads of those opportunities for you to notice what is not pushing hard enough. What is not being tough enough to push into it, because you have to hurt in order to reduce the pain. You have to do it. But what is so much that you're doing further damage?
Hopefully that's in my near future. I don't know, I've got 3 more weeks and then another appointment. If that goes well, then PT. But
PT, good.
so
Well, right now, hydrate. We know that's one of the most important things for healing the body. Continue to stay in positive emotions whenever possible. Watch comedy.
I
Really
have been. I have
good,
been. Yep,
good.
yep.
You're on the path. Keep your vibe coming back up, despite the fact that there is, a physical sensation that causes a thought system. Right, the physical pain, we have associations with that pain that I have to have certain types of thoughts, and it's not necessarily true. We don't have to snap at the nurse, for instance, just because we're in pain. That's
That's a choice.
it is. It is. And you just have to be, a little sort of okay with being alone with our pain and staring it straight in the eyes and making friends with it. Being thankful that that pain is telling you your foot's still attached, that you
Very
got no
true.
nerve damage, Yay!
Oh yeah, no nerve damage, I'll tell you that much. No,
It's a
that's
lot.
all very helpful. I needed this. I appreciate that a lot, 'cause not that I was I've stayed in pretty decent spirits, like for the most part. I've been pretty like, it's all good, it's minor, it's just a period of time in my life, like no big deal. But there have been moments of like, man, like do I suck at this? Like should I be doing this? Is this responsible? Like it's been a strain on, my partner, 'cause she's, had to initially had to help me a lot. Now I'm more autonomous, at least I can shower myself. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff you don't really think about when you get injured that, you need help. So,
You
know,
do.
is
And
it's a burden, but
it's a burden, and yet maybe it happened for a reason. And I don't mean that in cosmically. I mean, yes, there's probably implications that we can go into, but these things, I think, create this opportunity for us, for instance, to be vulnerable and ask for help when we were always like so solid that people leaned on us when they felt weak. If you play that role 100%, you never get to be, switch from the yin to the yang. You never ever get to be a complete human being unless you're actually on the other side of the fence to feel compassion for somebody that is vulnerable, because you're going to switch back. It's just a matter of time before you're going to be switching back into the role that you're most comfortable in.
Right,
So use the
right.
time, use this opportunity to really, what comes to mind when you're, in that role? How could you do this a little bit more contemplatively? Right?
Sure.
Like in
Yeah.
terms of the thankfulness and expressing it and and noticing how good it feels when you're the vulnerable one and you don't have a choice about it. You can't drive a car and you really want Ben and Jerry's. You need somebody else to get you to Ben and Jerry's.
Right. Yeah.
And to really linger in that experience of being vulnerable and thankful and realize that's a pretty good place to be, actually, in some ways.
Sure. Yeah, it's something I've struggled with. I've my biggest fear in life is being a burden, to anybody. So, and then
Totally.
if not that I have, she wouldn't admit it, but like, it's added some extra steps in her day for sure that in my mind is a burden. To her, it's not, but and to me it wouldn't be if the roles are reversed, God forbid, like I because we're in a loving relationship, it's what you do, right? That's what you do for your friends, what you do for your loved ones, like it that's a part of relationships, right?
Yes. And it
But
feels better. The more you give, the better it feels, right? Because love is verb.
it
It's a
is, yeah,
verb.
it is a verb, that is true. But yeah, I mean it have struggled with that, just not wanting to ask for help in my life, just over the course of life, and when I'm in a normal state, it's not my strong suit. So I've done a lot of growing, I think, from this injury, this period of time, because I've had to ask. I can't, I can't go to the store to get stuff if I need it, or whatever. And it's like, hey, do you mind running by the grocery store after you just worked, 10 hours? Like it's tough. But
It's tough when you view from the old mindset, right? I mean,
exactly.
the suffering always comes in the comparisons,
That's true.
right? The comparison of how you used to live and how empowered you were and how you were dodging all those bullets of vulnerability by being impregnable, the
Sure.
impregnable
Yeah.
fortress. And it's now an opportunity to not compare, right? Not compare how athletic you felt before the accident to now. Don't bother. It is what it is now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And just sort of accept it, go into radical acceptance is a really heavy concept if you will allow it, as a means to attain the graceful life. That you just this is what it is. I'm not gonna resist it because it is what it is. I might work towards changing it because it's not to my liking, through experiencing I learned what I definitely am not, what I am and what I'm not is why we're here to figure that out.
Sure.
So you don't want to be the vulnerable one that's needy, that's a leech. Nobody wants to feel that, but people that tend to be the one that's impregnable and reliable are not very comfortable in the reversing of the roles. It gives you a wonderful opportunity to be it, to live in it, and know why you tried to remain solid, because you like not only feeling the sensation, right? All of us that are in that mode, the sensation of carrying your own weight, but also in that solidness gives the opportunity to be the one that's of service, that's helping the person that can't go get their own Ben and Jerry's or whatever that is, the scared student at the drop zone, or
Right.
right, the old lady that you hold the door open for at the store. That's the way of beauty, to be the empowered hero that knows why they're being a hero, because they've been the opposite, because they took off
Interesting.
one hat and put the other one on. That's where you are right now. It's
Right.
temporary, but it's a wonderful opportunity.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a great way to frame it.
Yeah.
That's Yeah, but probably the healthiest way to frame it, actually.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just go nuts, So, yeah.
Well, it's how the universe views it. In my opinion, the universe is always the ultimate positive interpretation of our lives right now. I think that's that 10,000-foot view looking down, whatever it is, whatever somebody's going through,
Right.
it the universe is cheering us on, going, you can interpret this my way if you wish. You can
Sure.
interpret everything is leading to better. Everything is giving me a greater clarity of what I am and what I'm not, what I desire and what I desire to have less of. Figuring it out is why we're here. Because
I like that.
we don't fully know. We have to experience in order to know.
Sure. Yeah, that's brilliant.
You came for to the right planet for that.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
A planet that hurts. A place of tremendous contrast.
No kidding.
There's so many opportunities to not judge, but at the same time recognize, yeah, that's not my flavor. That's not my way of being. That type of music or that way to talk to people or that method of skydiving or something. It's we don't fully know until we lean into the world and go, ah, all right. So that's I didn't know in before I played that role that that is not me.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Cool.
Dang.
Well,
No, this is
I hope this was
super
beginning
helpful.
thought moving
Yeah.
in,
Yeah.
or a
I think it's just
further direction.
so just a little push, a little reframing I think I needed. That is very helpful. I appreciate that. And that's why I wanted to get on it, because I knew that you would have good insight into like how to frame things. And just listening to you talk and on YouTube or on your website and stuff, conversations like this,
Well, I've been there. That used to be inside my femur.
femur. I was gonna say that's a femur like rod, isn't it?
Oh, there's a lot more. Yeah, there was
Sure.
nine screws and a big thing on the coming out the top that went into the head of the femur. That was in me too.
It out and they let you keep it. I like that.
Yeah, it's titanium. It's I keep thinking what could I use it for? But that's my mind. Let's move beyond what it was into what it could be
Sure.
utilized for. But what it can be utilized for is reminding you that this happened like 10,000 jumps ago.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah, here you
Yeah.
are, 10,000 jumps later. So.
My life is not what it is in spite of that. It's because of it.
Interesting.
Your ankle, same thing. It's going to open up doors that would not have opened had this not occurred.
Sure. That's
Right?
powerful. Yeah,
Yep.
that's
Life doesn't
powerful
happen to us, it happens for us.
for us. Yep. I love it. Well,
Awesome.
thanks so much,
All
Brian.
right.
Appreciate your time.
All right. Well, that wraps up the episode with Brian Germain. Hope you all enjoyed it. Hope you took something away from it like I did. It's definitely something that I've gone back and listened to a couple times. And now that I'm putting it out as a podcast, it'll be much easier to do that. Go check out briangermain.com for all of his books and articles. Also, if you want some canopy pilot training, he's the one to talk to. I think he even will come out and jump with you if you're, ready and willing to take in the knowledge. Thanks so much, everybody, for being here. Make sure you leave a review on this podcast if you like it. That actually helps a lot. Only have one review so far. We're almost at 100 downloads, which is pretty remarkable. And there's plenty to come. I've got some big names in the speed flying sport that are going to be coming on over the next couple of months. It's just a matter of figuring out a time and a place to meet up. I want to try to do these in person as much as possible. I don't mind the virtual kind of Zoom style podcast, but I feel like there's a lot of benefit to be gained from doing it in person. So we're just working on some logistics for that. I'm getting all the gear and equipment squared away and trying to figure this game out because I'm new to it. Thank you all who have reached out on Instagram and on YouTube saying how much you appreciate this being a thing. I appreciate it too, and that's why I'm here, because there's a need for this in the sport, and unfortunately, we haven't had it. But here we are. We're doing it. All right, guys. Until next time, look cool, fly safe. Speed Vector out.